This is the best of Radio Wasteland.
Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Back from absconding to another country, playing fast and loose with your patriotism, I see.
I do not possess patriotism. You know this.
You don't possess any patriotism?
I mean, I guess America's fine. That's the whole statement. I don't know, the end of the sentence.
I think a lot of people have this like attitude, like when it comes to cops, and they're just all like, "Forget the cops," until somebody's like beating me up, and I'm all, "Call the cops!" You know, it's like, you know, there is a time that you need it. You
know? I do not see what that has to do with America.
They're the cops.
They're the cops.
Yeah.
Well, then they're like
international cops.
Then they're like Baltimore PD. They're like the worst, most corrupt cops ever.
All right. I want out of this conversation. You got any paranormal news for us?
I sure do. So the day of the Area 51 raid finally came last week.
Uh-huh.
Seven people were arrested, and no one was hurt. What actually occurred is that there was basically an enormous alien-themed party in nearby Rachel, Nevada, which saw 3,000 people attending, far fewer than expected. About 100 people stormed the gates of Area 51, but they had no violent intentions, and in fact, some guards took selfies with them. The arrests were all related to disorderly behavior in the town, and four people were simply booked and given citations. All in all, E.T. will have to wait for a more committed force before he can finally phone home. In other UFO news, the U.S. Navy confirmed that the videos that Blink-182's Tom DeLonge made public were, in fact, legitimate videos taken of an unidentified object by the U.S. Navy. These videos, well known to the public as the Tic Tac videos taken off of the U.S. Hornet, have created a stir in recent years with reporting in reputable newspapers about them, including the Washington Post and the New York Times. 2 years ago, we reported on Tom DeLonge when he launched a crowdfunding campaign to build a spaceship that would, quote, travel instantaneously through space, air, and water by engineering the fabric of space-time. Who knows? Maybe he's onto something. Finally, the Illuminati is up to its wacky old tricks with the recruitment of singer-songwriter Billie Eilish. According to Twitter conspiracy theorists, her new video, All the Good Girls Go to Hell, is full of Illuminati symbolism and is clear evidence of her ties to the powerful and mysterious anti-religious and or satanic group that controls the world. According to everyone else, this is, shall we say, thinly supported. Experts have referred to this song as, quote, honestly pretty catchy. That's all for this week. Back to you, Chauncey.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. You know, no offense to Billie Eilish.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
No offense to Billie Eilish. You know, okay. I kind of like her songs. They're a little catchy, you know. They come on the radio, and I'm only, it could be worse. You know, but...
what every artist wants to hear.
Yeah, you know, I'm a dude in my 40s, man. I mean, she's lucky I support the commercials that it's on, you know. She's
so
getting
her 20s. You tolerate her.
I tolerate her. But
that's an act of...
But for the Illuminati to be in control of the entire universe and world and totally all-powerful, and for them to go after what I believe is a 17-year-old juggalo...
Essentially, yes.
Seems to be, you know... Unless, of course, you have everybody else.
Yeah,
if you already have everybody, and they're all, well, who should we get now? And Billie Eilish, you know, but...
Right, I think no one wants to say that, you know, we shouldn't have these recruitment meetings anymore. They're just like, we could ask Mr. Rogers again.
Totally.
You know?
Right. Where else are we going to get our free coffee and donuts?
Right, exactly. Yeah. They're just, you know, they're trying to grow their power, but, you know, the, right. the conspiracy theorists are to believe they already have all the power. So it
right.
Really
when they're
work.
Hitting me with the actors like the Will Smiths and the singers like the, you know, the, I don't know, somebody, anybody. Anybody other than Billie Eilish, you know?
Right, yeah. It's a little strange. And I watched the video, and there wasn't, you know, there weren't even, like, pyramids with eyes on them or you know.
It didn't look like a Taco Bell commercial, so it must not be the Illuminati.
No, it was just that she, like, had, you know, evil angel wings or whatever, and was everything was on fire.
Great.
Which is, like, that's normal.
So
honestly.
Now the Illuminati consists of her and Michael Stipe and the model from the heart-shaped box Nirvana video. Anything with some sort of wings and creepiness going on.
Right, that's all the Illuminati. Yeah.
I wonder how they monetize that.
I don't think they have to. They've got all that, you know, Knights Templar gold from the 15th century or whatever.
I don't know. I do believe that there is some kind of shadow government going on, but I also believe that we don't know about it.
Sure.
You know, it's
you
like,
don't think it's a Bavarian freethinker society from the 18th century?
I wish. I really feel like we might get some if it was that.
Honestly, yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
You know, freethinker society, I like that. Bavarian, beer, pretzels, I like that. You know, I mean, it's like it's got everything, yeah. Right? Jared knows. You're out. All right. Okay. Forget him. All right, so, yeah, and then the aliens, you know, Tom DeLonge going to space in your faster-than-light-speed ship. You know, I'm all on board with that. I got to say, though, I thought the video was real. I didn't know that it wasn't real.
Well, it is real.
Right, but I thought that
there
the,
was, there
I thought
was
the
some
Navy
doubt.
Had already come out and said, no. Yeah, this stuff is real.
No, they hadn't said it yet, which is, what's interesting is they not only said, yeah, we, the Navy, took this video, but it is of something unidentified. You know, they could have said, it's a drone, don't worry about it.
Right.
They could have said that, but for whatever reason, they elected not to.
Which I'm a little surprised that they didn't. I'm also pleasantly surprised, now that I know that it got so much cover.
Yeah.
So much coverage ahead of time. I would have thought this whole time that it would have gotten none, but, I mean, apparently it actually got real coverage. So
yeah, like the,
kudos
New,
to
the
Tom.
New York Times took a lot of heat.
Yeah.
For so did the Post, actually, for, you know, publishing stories about this.
Pretend. Potentially pretend stories.
Exactly. You know, and people were like, this is based on, like, three sources. What are you doing? We expect better. But, you know, now it's like, it's actually real. It's been confirmed, so...
I think three
they're
sources is more than small. A lot of their stuff is based on. I
yeah, mean, we don't do
a lot of
sources.
The time they have, like, one source that is unnamed. This time they have three that are all said, hey, it's us. You know, so I mean,
that's true.
That's pretty good for them. I mean, it sounds like I'm saying those fake newsers. I mean, news in general. News has always been this way.
No,
you know, people like
you're
to
right.
say that it's all different now, but it's not all different now. The only thing that's all different now is that we tune in a lot when people are dying and stuff hurts, you know. It's like the news the other day. I got a couple seconds here. The news the other day, there was a drunk trying to fly a plane, air captain. And they're just all like, oh, and he was drunk and they caught him. And I'm like, good, they caught him. You know, nobody wants a drunk flying a plane. And they're just all, and yes, you know, and one captain is arrested for every flight. One flight a month, the captain is arrested for trying to fly.
Yeah.
And I'm all like, oh, my God, that's crazy. And then I'm all, wait, how many flights are there a month?
There's
8,800 a day.
Yeah.
Meaning statistically, one a month, that's pretty good. That is like astronomically good, you know, but they're going to play it up all on our fears, not mm-hmm. because they like the left or the right, but because they like sensationalism. They know we're going to tune in and be all, let's check out the Drone Captain Show. You know, it's like, that's what we want.
What? Why are you so cynical?
What?
Why are you so cynical?
That's just how my mama made me. You know?
I will accept that as an answer.
I mean, you're cynical. All right, we're coming up on break here. Up next, we got our guest, William Ramsey. We're going to be talking about Aleister Crowley and the 9/11 and New World Order connection and his book, Prophet of Evil, right here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Swing that thing. Experience what it's like to be an archaeologist, biologist, or astromathematician in Turtle Bay's Mystery of the Mayan Medallion on display September 28th through January 12th. Delve into science, language, history, and mathematics in this hands-on immersive treasure hunt of an exhibition. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you have your dad's dimples, your mom's curly hair? What makes us, us? Explore genomic science in Turtle Bay's newest expedition, Genome, Unlocking Life's Code, on display September 21st through January 2nd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is the best of Radio Wasteland. Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Ramsey. We're going to be talking about a favorite sort of loose topic of mine. I don't know if it's a favorite topic because I don't know very much about it, but I'm kind of a sucker for the occult. So anything with Aleister Crowley on it, I'm interested in. And, of course, a connection to 9/11 and the New World Order draws me in all the further. William, do we have you there with us?
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, so, you know, this is a, if nothing else, this is a big sentence to unpack. You know, Aleister Crowley, 9/11, New World Order, and how they're all connected. Let's start off with talking about Aleister Crowley. Let's let us all know who Aleister Crowley was.
Well, that's hard to put encapsulate in a very short amount of time. But Crowley was born in 1875. He died in 1949. He was born into a wealthy brewing and basically a food services family. They provided food to the pubs of England. He grew up in Leamington Spa and was a privileged only son. He had a daughter who died in infancy, a sister, who died in infancy. But he was privy to a lot of wealth, but also the best public schools. His father died when he was 12, and he basically changed from his parents' version of Christianity, which was the exclusive brethren. They were a subset of what was known as the Plymouth Brethren, founded by John Nelson Darby, who is famous for dispensationalism, this dispensationalism view of the Bible, and broke from that and pretty much rebelled when he went off to Cambridge to study after going to the best private, what they call public schools, we would call private schools of England. And it was there that he claimed, or he said he was white hot on three subjects. It was mountaineering, poetry, and the occult. So he spent his time reading. He never graduated from Cambridge. He thought it was beneath him, but he spent his time studying and writing poetry and began publishing books at a very, right around that time while he was in Cambridge. Then he looked and found this magical group called the Golden Dawn. They had very famous members, William Butler Yeats, Bram Stoker of Dracula fame, and it was a post-Masonic group, so it was people who had gone through all of the grades of Masonry, and they were a group that practiced ceremonial magic. So he began practicing the magic that they had, and he eventually left that group and set out on his own with the intent to, his self-professed intent was to be one of the greats of the future. He had been at Cambridge and been amongst all these very famous intellectuals, so he intended to be one of these of the future, and in many ways he might be one of the most famous occultists of all time.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime I think of sort of occultists, borderline, Satanists, what one would call Satanism, I think of him and Anton LaVey, and really I can't think of any other big names in it. And I've always been interested in Aleister Crowley. I understand that they're very different. I'm just saying that they're the names that come up. Because occultism, it's like it seems like it was in a time that occultism was sort of taken seriously.
No doubt. I mean, I think he was influenced by Blavatsky, the many people were. She had written these books. And there was also this influx of ideas from the East. So concepts from India, China, occult concepts, and they were being integrated into the West. And Crowley was one of the people who did do that. He traveled in an early time before plane flight. He circumnavigated the globe twice and was spending a lot of time in India to do his two most famous climbs, which were Kanchenjunga. He had to go to India, and the other one I think is K2. He had to go to India and travel through India, and there he would always be absorbing ideas from Buddhism and yoga. So all of these ideas were really coming back to the West and then being kind of put into the melange of these new kind of religious movements, of whom Crowley was definitely, I think, one of the more influential ones.
So I think a lot of people would say that he was one of three things. Either he was crazy, a charlatan, or he was genuine, or he was genuine, be that magic or his own belief system. Which do you think he really falls into?
I think he was all three. I think he was part and he was also part serious. And I think that if you look at some of his relationships with other people, he was clearly a charlatan, but he took himself very seriously. People said he had a puritanical, or one biographer said he had a puritanical attitude towards his work in occultism, which is why his corpus was so remarkable, or remarkably huge. I mean, just in occultism, he had an immense amount of material, and that's not even including all his journalistic works, which have never been properly compiled by any of his biographers or researchers. So he was always writing. He never really worked a steady, what would be known as a steady job. He relied upon his family income until he depleted that and then grifted or sponged off his followers looking for checks monthly, even all the way till his death. So that afforded him so much time to partake and be involved in his interests. But, yeah, he was part charlatan, but I think he was very serious. I mean, he called himself a prophet of the new aeon. He believed he was the prophet of this being who dictated to him the Book of the Law in 1904, and he was the only proper interpreter of that book, this received book, that is in three parts, that happened to him while he was in Egypt. So he definitely had a serious part of him, but also you could tell that he was very manipulative and, yeah, I mean, he was partially crazy. I mean, there's decent amounts of information that he was in a mental institution to people who were pretty well known, Arthur Miller and a diarist by the name of Anais Nin, both said he was in a mental institution later on in life in Switzerland. And he clearly had very strange behaviors. I mean, he would brand his women, the Scarlet Women, this magical partners, with a literal brand representing the mark of the beast on their chest. So there was a significant amount of women who had that. He punched one woman in the eyeball, broke her eye socket. He told one of his followers to take out an insurance policy with him as the beneficiary and then killed himself so that he could have money to pursue the great work.
Man,
so you could see
that
all
is
of these
one
things,
committed
you know, he was
follower.
Involved in eating human bodily emissions, all kinds of strange stuff.
Yeah, man, that is one committed follower.
That's very committed. And the guy actually did, his name was Mudd. He actually did end up committing suicide, but not giving Crowley his. And then Crowley left in his wake madness, suicide, and death. Most of his followers either ended up one of those unfortunate types.
So surely in his writings he went on to, and we only got a couple minutes up until the break here, so we'll just get started here. But surely in his writings he went on to say some things that have people take him seriously enough now to connect him to events of today.
Well, no question. I think that that's one of the interesting aspects, not just about Crowley, but any religious leader, is that they have this corpus of work that people reference. They never see through to other people's shortcomings, personality shortcomings, or deceptions. And I think that that's why Crowley kind of maintains his impact and import. As many people don't know, what type of person, how heavily drug-addled he was, his manipulations of other people. So I think that people look to Crowley, and Crowley promised people ideals that are very, what I would say, modern. You know, the do what thou wilt should be the whole of the law, which involved things that some people are attracted to, free sex, drugs, the involvement of whatever culture you want to be involved in. So in that
right.
promise, people do take that aspect of Crowley seriously, and they get an expurgated, you know, spoonerized version of Crowley. They don't see him for, you know, some of his more vile practices.
Right, and that sort of nihilism, anarchism side is where I see the direct parallel to Anton LaVey. Even though he called himself a Satanist, he was really much more of a nihilist or a hedonist or a
Well, according to, I think LaVey said that he didn't believe that Satan was an external entity. It was an idea.
Right.
So I think
right.
Crowley was different than LaVey in that regard, because Crowley spent most of his time, well, not most of his time, but over time contacting and praying and worshiping this entity he called Awas.
So he was worshiping the dark side. Even though he was raised Christian and following that stuff, he eventually was worshiping the dark side?
Well, I think from a Christian perspective, no doubt. I think from his aspect, he believed that Christianity was something to fight against. He believed, you know, any means necessary to overthrow. He actually wanted to replace Christendom with Crowleyanity. So he would use terms that takes a while to understand, but the Black Brotherhood was Christendom. That's what he referred to them. So,
oh, weird.
And in time, you know, he definitely exposed who this AWAS being, he said it was Lucifer, the Satan of this part of the starry galaxy. So he was just a Satanist with a lot of blinds. He was very intelligent, so he was able to conceal the real foundations of his work. But one of his things was to overthrow Christianity. So I would say all of his ideas are dark-sided,
right.
Numerology, concepts, and do what thou wilt over all things. You know, it was very selfish and self-centered. It's kind of as very consonant or similar to the principles of magician, where you're at the center of the universe.
All right. Well, we are coming up on break here. We're listening to William Ramsey. We're talking about Prophet of Evil, Aleister Crowley, 9/11, and the New World Order. When we come back, I'm going to find out from you, William, really where that connection is with 9/11 and the New World Order. You're listening to William Ramsey here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back. We'll be right back.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to riverviewgolf.net. That's riverviewgolf.net.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200. Working from home as a freelancer, remote worker, or entrepreneur? Drop-In is a professional co-working shared office space designed to meet the needs of today's mobile worker. Drop-In has multiple workstations, conference rooms, video call booths, and lightning-fast, secure fiber Wi-Fi. Do you need space to work for just an hour or full-time? Hourly, daily, and monthly rates are available, and walk-ins are always welcome. Visit dropin.mobi for more information or drop in and take a tour at 155 Lake Boulevard East next to Starbucks. Isn't it time you found your space?
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is the best of Radio Wasteland.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. And we are talking about Aleister Crowley with our guest William Ramsey. So let's hop right into it. How is he connected with 9/11 and the New World Order? What is the connection here? How could this be bridged?
Well, that's a good question. So if you read through Crowley's stuff, he believed in numerology. 11 was really his primary number, but it wasn't just the number of magic. It was the number of the New World Order. And so 11 was very important, but he also used to do all these scribblings through gematria, which is a means of attributing numerical values to letters. And the prime numbers of his religion, or the prime, excuse me, the prime words were agape and thelema. Both added up to 93 in the English gematria. So 93 became an important kind of code or number for Aleister Crowley. And people often that are higher up in the Crowleyan teachings just sign their signatures. After signing their signatures, they say 93, 93, 93, which is short for love under law, love under will. So will being thelema, love being agape. So 93 is an important number. 77 references Crowley in his Liber Oz. Also, 77 is kind of like the Lady Babylon, and all adds up. So he had this kind of symbolism of Lady Babylon. So these numbers and the ideas of Crowley really was to transform the world. His idea was to illuminate the world, so to speak, with his religion. So he died in 1947, but the events of 9/11 have not only his numerology infused through him, but also, I believe, the underlying gist or intent of the event was occult in nature. So the date of the event is the 9/11. The buildings are 2 11s, right, broken into three separate buildings of 33. So there's all kinds of numerology in the event, but the main planes were 11, 93, 77, and 175. In Crowley's ritual magical system was to worship the god you adore. So I do believe that that was a kind of adoration number that was added to it. And the first plane to hit the World Trade Center was Building 11. 93 supposedly dropped in Shanksville. 77 was the one that I believe hit the Pentagon. And 175 was the second plane that hit the towers.
All right, you're losing me with all these numbers, though. I'm not really understanding the correlation of these numbers. I understand that they were important to him, but I'm not making the leap, understanding the leap.
Okay, well, okay, so then, I mean, we can talk about that, but so then you have this event, this kind of you know, potent of the 9/11 event, which I think functioned as a kind of magical working, mm-hmm. something like Crowley would do. And I believe that Crowley's ideas of the New World Order and are a kind of occult ideas. So 11 years before the events of 9/11, George Bush Sr. gave a very important speech where he referenced the New World Order. So I believe that that was made with the intent and knowledge of the foregoing or future events of September 11th, 2001.
I see. So, so basically one thing we're saying here is that Crowley's motivation was to sort of recreate the world in his own plan for the future.
I think that he was going to create his own religion.
Right.
And I believe that his religion is consistent with satanic ideal, and that somebody else picked up on that, either through the Secret Society Network, the OTO, or whatever happened after Crowley died, and carried that forward, carried out this objective, and at a very important time meridian, 9/11/2001.
So we're basically saying here this is like they picked up the torch and they're carrying it.
Well, that happens, right. So that happens all the way through Christendom or any really religious group is after the leader dies.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So if you read my book, Children of the Beast, you might be surprised at how many people picked up Crowley's torch, so to speak. Timothy Leary thought he was carrying on the work of Aleister Crowley. Hmm. And this was a huge kind of change agent influencer of the 60s who actually found that there were amazing synchronicities between his life and his. So there's a lot of people who were influenced by Crowley who thereby influenced common culture. And then if you want to go through the Bush family and talk about Barbara Bush, her mom, who was in France at the time, that Crowley was in the time, then you could actually have a kind of familial bond between Crowley and the events of 9/11.
So we're thinking, you know, with this line of thought, is thinking that 9/11 was not orchestrated by the terrorists that they would have you believe.
No, of course not. Yeah, no. It was a structured event planned ahead. I think the terrorists were window dressing for the real perpetrators. I mean, you have to, if you look through the ideas of, like, David Rockefeller, who built both the Twin Towers, they used to be called David and Nelson after the two brothers when Nelson died. They were the founding real force behind the building of the Twin Towers and also the UN building. So they were involved in very, and the UN is the real idea to create this kind of new world order. So I do believe that both of those buildings and both of those things were created with the intent of hastening the breaking down of old national boundaries and creating a new world. Absolutely.
Now, what would the motivation behind that be? You know, to basically fear people into following?
I think that the real motivation, I think that's a multi-tiered motivation, but I do believe it's to put the secret society elite system into power, which I do believe happened. I believe it was a wealth transfer. I believe it, the insiders knew what was going to happen in advance. It made changes based on their financial changes in life. And, the slave shall serve. Everybody else didn't know what was going to happen. So I do believe the intent was solidify power, which I do believe happened, and solidify really a much more fascist, draconian state, which you can see with the so-called Patriot Act, which isn't patriotic. And all these other changes that happened after that under the Bush-Cheney administration.
Right. But, you know, a lot of people are going to view this as being Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal.
They're not picking up the real deeper thing behind the Democratic or Republican, because there's a hand behind both parties. It's not some kind of coincidence or some kind of random thing that both the Democratic and Republican parties basically been run by people out of Yale, affiliated with the Skull and Bone Society for at least since what, Reagan, and even Nelson Rockefeller was the vice president, right? So that was under Ford. So the long term impact of these families goes back decades, really.
So you know. How am I?
And if you really want to get into Democrats, they're really elite Democrats. They're neo liberals. They don't care about the working class they ostensibly prattle to. They sold everybody's manufacturing out to China, undercut them with foreign labor, so they don't care.
Well, that's completely
true. I think they're insane.
Can't argue with that part.
Right, yeah, that's true. Well,
you agree with that or you don't agree?
No, I do agree with that. I think that's completely correct.
Because, I mean, that's the elite grip, right? So if you can fix the elections, if you can get your own people into power, I think that's really what's been happening, even not just in this country, but I believe that there's an elite selection process to see who's going to run the country, and it's always been that way.
I'm definitely not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to formulate my question in my head, which is good timing here. We're coming up on break, and I will formulate it better on the other side.
No, I'm not angry with you at all. I'm just trying to get to the truth. It's not personal.
Oh, no. I didn't think that you were. We're talking to William Ramsey. We're talking about Aleister Crowley, 9/11, and the New World Order. And come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Carl and Bott, owners of KCNR Radio.
We just want to say happy holidays from everyone at the KCNR family. With the giving season upon us, we wanted to thank you for living local. The Reddit community means a lot to us.
So this season, as you're driving through town doing your holiday shopping, support the advertisers that support this station. Local shops are often overlooked, but that's where you'll find the most unique and touching gifts this Christmas.
Live local, listen local, love local. And from everyone here at KCNR, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join me as the new host of brand new Battlefield Expressions show, debuting December 7th, 2019. Battlefield Expressions is a go-to program providing veterans and their families an opportunity to call in and ask questions and receive information particular to their individual needs. Veterans and their families who sacrificed and served our country. Every Saturday, 9 to 11, here at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Talk Radio.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
This is the best of Radio Wasteland.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Ramsey. We're talking about Aleister Crowley, 9/11, and the New World Order. And I'm finally able to put my brain around what I was trying to figure out from before. So we're talking about how they're carrying the torch from Aleister Crowley there, and we're talking about the Bushes. And I can see a Bush-Clinton comparison there. But by the time we get to Trump, it feels like we're very anti that. And so right. I was trying to figure out if Trump was like a new hidden spearhead behind this, or if Trump means that they failed. And really, where do Obama and Trump fall into this game plan?
That's a great question. I do think that Obama had CIA connections. So I think that he was the appropriate handoff after the 8 years of Bush's assaults on the Constitution and really the financial undermining of the American people, intentional by design undermining of the American people.
So, and a lot of people seem Obama to have made that connection between Bush, Obama, the Clintons. They seem to have piled them together.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that Trump is kind of an anomaly. I don't think he was expected to win, to be honest with you. I think they were trying to hand it back to Hillary Clinton to keep this whole lineage going. So I expected Hillary Clinton to win. And I think Trump is very
experienced politician.
Pardon me?
You and everybody else.
Yeah. So I think that Trump is kind of a breath of fresh air in the sense that he isn't part of this cabal. I think that Trump's real personality really is kind of an outsider. He's not a part of the Ivy League system or this Yale system, really. And so he doesn't seem to have a problem bristling or being in conflict with them. And the entirety, if you look at his staff, they're in the Republican Party, but there's nobody from the Bush-Clinton machine, you know, mainly the Bush-Clinton people who should have stayed over to a new Republican administration. So I do think something unique is happening in the American experience, and I do think it was a revolutionary change that was from a groundswell of people who were keying into the fixing and gaming of the system. And I do think that the whole Russia myth and all this is evidence or clear and obvious evidence of the capacity to game the system and to get people's own, elite minions into certain positions of power. So Trump, to me, is much different than Obama. It's pretty clear Obama did not like Trump. And actually, you can almost place I think Trump always had ambitions to become president. I think he had the capacity and charisma to do it. I think that when, I forgot which, it was one of the dinners where Obama was insulting Trump and said, "You'll never be president." And that could have been a turning point in American history right there because Trump was pissed.
I think I saw that. I think I knew what you're talking
about. It was the correspondence.
So I do think that there's a clean break between Obama and Trump, but there's not a clean break between Obama and the Bush family. So
yeah, there's definitely something to be said there for institutionalized politicians, you know.
Look at how much of a golden boy he was. He really wasn't from some kind of thing. Where did he come from? How did he get ahead? How did he beat out Hillary Clinton? There's a lot of questions there, but I think that his mom or somebody like that worked for the CIA or was a CIA asset. He had an interesting growing up phase, too. So I do think that these guys are all, if you look at, he gave an initial speech, Obama did, I think it was in Berlin, with all kinds of occult references. So the occultism of the Bush family and Obama's, I think that Trump knows of some of the stuff, but he does seem to be really acting upon these occult principles of the slave shall serve. If you look at my book, Children, Prophet of Evil, you'll see that Bush himself, like his aircraft carrier's a 77. So he's got all this numerology that the insiders know. And he wears hats with 77s on them. So Bush Sr., before he died, was heavily involved in all that stuff. And the same with the Rockefeller family. Sort of break down 30 rocks or anything like that. So Trump is an anomaly. So something refreshing is happening with him that I think is really a boon to Americans in a lot of ways.
Well, we're coming up on another election here. How do you think this is going to go down? I mean, it seems like with powers and stuff like this, you think they would just, I don't want to say anything that'll get people all upset, but they JFK him, you know, with these levels of power.
Right, I think that's the concern. I mean, one of the first things, right, that's a great question. I just did a great show on my podcast interviewing Jefferson Morley about James Jesus Angleton, who's neck deep in the JFK assassination. What Trump did when he first came into office is he basically he gelded. What did he do? He basically put women in positions of power at the CIA. It's something for a first. They're all women, so he's clearly thinking he could have get JFK'd. And I think that the whole Russia, attack, which is really a vicious, deceptive attack, is an attempt to try to get him out of office. So I think he's up against very powerful institutional forces, and I think that he would be happy if Biden actually ran against him because he's about as corrupt as they come. A long-term, multi-decade swamp dweller who looks like he has his sons taking bribes for him from China and Ukraine. It's crazy.
Yeah, I do think that he hopes to be up against Biden. I don't see that working out.
I don't think Biden can win. I think it's really Buttigieg or somebody who's an outsider is really the people who have the best chance.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. So what's coming up next for you? We're coming up on the end of the show here. I want to, be able to get the word out about where people can find out more about you and what's coming up next for you.
Well, this was my first book, so I've written Children of the Beast about Quigley's influence upon the 20th century. I also wrote about a criminal case, the West Memphis Three, the deceptions involved in that. I recently put out in 2017 a book about the Smiley Face Killers, this rash of murders of about 200 to 300 men in the U.S. alone that have ended up thrown in dead and thrown in water. You can see that on Vimeo, and also my Occult Hollywood Volume 2 is on Vimeo. So my more recent documentaries are on Vimeo, and all my books are available on Amazon. And I do post a lot on Twitter and Facebook.
All right. Well, we will definitely make it a point to get some links up to these things. You know, this is our first time really dealing with the occult on the show, so we really enjoyed that. And 9/11, I think maybe we've touched on the topic once before. You see, it seems
yeah,
to be,
not really actually.
Yeah, so we've really enjoyed having
it's
you on,
stuff.
William. Yeah, you know, it's
thank
always
you
know, there's only so much UFOs and Bigfoot people can talk about, you know.
Well,
true.
If you have me back on, we can talk about Children of the Beast, or if you want to do a creepy show about a serial killing, look into the Smiley Face Killers. Or look into the information, because I do believe that there's an underground group of people who are loosely connected committing the same crime in the United States.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds like the winner for us. All right. We'll be back in touch. And you've been listening to William Ramsey here on Radio Wasteland. It's been a really good time. Check us out.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.